You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. Ready-Made Resources has a limited number of PVS-30 night vision scopes for $4,700. These are the top-of-the-line night vision scopes used by the U.S. military, which normally sell for over $11,000. Turn your 12-hour rifle into a 24-hour rifle. Visit Ready-Made Resources to get your PVS-30 today.
Are you a pastor who doesn't feel led to address politics in your church? Do shivers of fear run up your spinous back every time you consider teaching about liberty or the Constitution? Don't fret, you're not alone. In fact, most American pastors are just like you. But you do need to prepare for a period of adjustments in the near future. Soon, thanks to your dereliction of duty, freedom of religion will be gone and the church doors will be chained shut, leaving your sorry tail out of a job. That's why we've started the Prepper Recon Vocational School for Pastors. We'll train you to thrive in the post-church world of tomorrow in jobs like air duct installation. Having no backbone makes you a top candidate for moving around in tight spaces. Shoe shining is another option. Many boot-licking preachers find the transition remarkably fluid. Don't wait until the padlock is already on the door of your 501c3 house of worship. Call now and enroll today.
Hey, Preppers and Patriots. This is a recording of my recent appearance on Soaring Eagle Radio with Dr. Mike Spaulding. Enjoy the show.
Hi, folks. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. You can subscribe to the show on all the normal platforms, iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, listen to every episode on our website, SoaringEagleRadio.com. And I'm pleased to announce that Soaring Eagle Radio is also heard now on Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Global Star Radio Network, GSRadio.net. Also now on Mondays at 2 p.m. and 9 p.m. on the Prepper Broadcasting Network. And Sunday mornings at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and Saturday afternoons at 4 p.m. on Red Nation Rising. You can check out their program schedules for more details. My guest today is Mark Goodwin, the author of the recently released Days of Elijah, Apocalypse, Book 1. Of the three now, Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, but I'm told and I'm sure that we'll chat about this, is going to be four in that series. And the Days of Noah trilogy, as well as the first series, I believe, that he wrote, The Economic Collapse Chronicles, which was a three-book series on the challenges people face during an economic meltdown. And you can keep up with Mark and what he's doing at his website, PrepperRecon.com, PrepperRecon.com. Mark, welcome back to the Soaring Eagle Radio Show.
Pastor Mike, as always, it's an honor to be on your show.
Well, I appreciate you very much, and I've told you this before. You've been an encouragement to me over the years and really very, very helpful to me and helping me find and line up guests for the show. And very early on, especially when I was just starting the podcast, and I'm very grateful for that. Well, we decided, and this is more for our listeners since you and I have already chatted, Mark. We decided instead of trying to follow an outline or talk about some specific things, that we would just have a freewheeling conversation and talk about those things that are important to us. And I've been keeping up with your podcasts and your guests and who you're chatting with, and one of them caught my attention. Well, actually, there was a couple that caught my attention, and I wanted to maybe start there with our conversation. One of them was defending against the apostate church, and I listened to that episode recently, and I thought it was a very good conversation. Why is it necessary, first of all, Mark, when we talk about the church being apostate, that it shouldn't, but it does surprise or shock some people that we would say that about the church. But the truth of the matter is that there is a large segment of the visible church that is in full-blown apostasy, isn't there?
It is an absolute plague upon our nation. And I think that I think that it's something that started. I think we sowed the seeds for this back in the 60s and 70s when we took prayer and the Bible out of school. And at that time, of course, 93% of Americans self-identified as Christians. And we sat back and we let this squeaky, irate minority,
yes,
really take over our law and take over our country. And we sat back and we really did nothing about it. There's no reason that when you've got 93% of Americans that profess to be Christians, if half of them were real Christians, that should have been overturned in the next election cycle. And you know, and that's another huge problem, Pastor Mike, and I know that you're all too aware of it, of pastors that are afraid to talk about politics from the pulpit. You know, my wife and I moved to a new area to get to a less populated area, 2 years ago. And of course, when we moved, we had to start looking for a new church. And, it's been the most horrific experience of my lifetime. Mm-hmm. We finally found a really, really good church, with a pastor that stands up for the truth and has, good doctrine and speaks out against abortion and speaks out against, transgenderism and the attack against the family and homosexual marriage. And he speaks about the husband's role in the home and the wife's role in the home and how the husband's supposed to love the wife and the wife's supposed to submit to the husband and all of these things that are so foreign and so backward sounding. According to our culture. But it was horrific. And in response to that, you know, I'd made this little plug that I did on Prepper Recon. And it was essentially, a school for pastors to be retrained because since they had been so derelict in their duty of not standing up and not speaking out on political issues, you know, my consensus is that they'll soon be out of a job. And so they need to start retraining now for what they're going to do in the post-church work world of tomorrow. And it was done a little tongue in cheek, you know, rather than just the scathing rebuke that I felt like I needed to issue. Mm-hmm. And I got some really, really intense emails about that and some comments, posted on the website. And everything else. And I stepped on some toes and, you know, and then one of the pastors.
So it hit home.
Yeah. And then one of the pastors that emailed me, well, I think that you're not really catching the heart on this. One of them actually told me that it wasn't my place to call out God's anointed, of course, we got to remember Jesus did away with the priesthood. There's no priest. There's no priest class anymore.
Right.
You know, so you're not a Levite, you know, you're a pastor. your job is to watch over the sheep and to not fleece them.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
And
it's not a privileged class.
No. And then, so this wasn't this pastor, but the other one. And I went to his website to look at his church, his church's website. There was not one verse of scripture. I tabbed through every page on the website.
Wow.
There wasn't one verse of scripture on the entire website page. Nowhere was the plan of salvation posted on the church's website page. I don't have a church website. I have a for-profit prepper website. You can't go three posts in my website without hitting the plan of salvation. Can't go three posts in my prepper for-profit website without getting a verse of scripture.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
And I'm not a pastor and I don't run a church. That's just me feeling like that this is the minimum that I should be doing as a Christian that has gratitude for the blood that was shed for me.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Well,
but now on this church website, there was plenty of talk about coffee and football and their tagline was that they're the friendliest church in town. But let me tell you what, if you're not telling people that they're going to hell if they don't repent, you're not friendly. That's wicked, and that's evil, and you're sending people to hell, and it's the worst possible thing you could do for them.
Amen, brother. Preach it. That's exactly right. Yeah. Well, and that's a sad, sad thing. And I'm going to just ask this, Mark, before I forget. I guess I could write it down, but I'd probably still forget it. So I want to get a hold of that audio, because if you don't mind, I'd like to run that.
Oh, absolutely.
On some of my platforms, and maybe even embed it in some episodes of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, because then they won't have much to say, because I am a pastor, so I'll call them out myself. But point well taken. What you're saying is the church is apostate because pastors have forgotten what their calling and their mission is. And I think you hit the nail right on the head when you said that that this particular church proclaims itself to be the friendliest people around. And that is a large part of the problem. I think too many pastors have succumb to the idea that their responsibility is to be liked, to be esteemed within their community, to never say or do anything that's going to cause people to be concerned that perhaps they're just a little bit too radical. And my response is always the same. It's like, wait a minute. We serve a Lord who said that he is a rock of offense, that he is a stumbling stone, that people will hate him, and that the servants are not above the master. So it's just gotten very convoluted in these last days, hasn't it?
It really, really has. And then I want to give a little plug to the church that we're attending here in town that's
sure,
so
absolutely.
Good. It's First Church of God in Vero Beach. So if you're in the Sebastian or Vero or even the Stewart or Port St. Lucie area, I'd invite anybody to come there, because we searched long and hard to find somebody. And now this pastor, you know, last Sunday, as we're recording this, it's right after The Shack just came out. So,
yes, yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, he did a little video on The Shack that's showing some of the apostasy that's in this movie, you know, and,
perfect.
God's portrayed
as share the faithful brother's name, Mark. Who is his pastor?
Pastor Greg Semprot.
All right. And, thank you, Pastor Greg. God bless you.
And in The Shack, God's portrayed as a woman.
Yeah.
You know, well, we know from Genesis 1 that he created them male and female in his image. You know, yes, maybe God has some female attributes, because it takes the male and the female together to be that perfect representation of God, because he has the ability to create and things like that. But in this gender queering society that we live in, we got to remember that he's God the Father,
yes,
not God the Mother. And he's God the King, not God the Queen, you know. And and these are, you know, not subject to the whims of the day, not subject to your creative vision in your book.
Right.
That God – and Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as a male, he, you know. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
In the Days of Elijah, Book 2, Wormwood, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin. Everett and Courtney Carl have survived the Seven Seal Judgments, which devastated the planet, but have their efforts to stay alive been in vain? The next series of judgments to fall upon the earth are known as the Seven Trumpets. Within this series of cataclysms is the earth's collision with a giant asteroid known as Wormwood. The comet will poison much of the planet's fresh water supplies, making survival nearly impossible. With each subsequent trumpet judgment, their odds of living grow slimmer. If Everett and Courtney are to survive, they'll need perseverance, faith, and a great outpouring of providence from the Almighty. Buy your copy of The Days of Elijah, Book 2, Wormwood, in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.
Katie Armor offers affordable body armor, including level 3 trauma plates made of AR-500 steel. They can endure multiple rounds from pistols and rifles up to 7.62 NATO. Order today from katiearmor.com. That's CATIArmor.com.
Yeah. Well, that plays right into the hands too, Mark, of the goddess worshippers, the Gaia.
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. And it's a god, but it's not our god. And, and it's a Jesus that his book talks about, but it's not our Jesus. And it's these, and in the shack, of course, it's a little more subtle, but what he's doing, don't think that the author's name is William P. Young. Don't think that he's just got this teaspoon of heresy in there just to sort of add a little flavor to the pot. This is something just like everything else that we see from Hollywood and television and everything else. It's something that's meant to condition you.
Yes.
And now once you've been conditioned to accept the shack and you read his next book, Eve, well, then you'll find out in Eve that God actually impregnated Adam, who carried Eve in his belly, gave birth to Eve, who was then breastfed by God. So that's what's in his next book, in Eve. So it's, if you think the shack isn't that bad, trust me, it gets worse.
Yes, that's just the opening salvo in the heretical theology that's being pushed in this book. And I had not heard that about Eve, the follow-up book, but that says everything that you need to know, Mark, hearing that kind of stuff. And I imagine, it's unfortunate to have to say this and be right. I would love to be proven wrong, but I think that what we're going to see is you'll even have some Christians that will stand up and support this book, Eve, when it comes out.
Well, the shack right now is the number one Christian bestseller on Amazon. William P. Young is the number one Christian author on Amazon. So Eve is somewhere, I think, in the top 10. So Charles Spurgeon said, the sermon is not knowing the difference between right and wrong. It's knowing the difference between right and almost right.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
Any moron knows good from wicked.
Yes.
What we need to pray for, what we need to ask God for, the reason we need to be in our Bible every single day, praying every single day, listening to worship music, cleansing our minds every single day, is so that we can have that spirit indwelling in us, so we can have the discernment to know the difference between right and almost right.
Yes. Amen. Amen, brother. Well, let's talk about Islam for a moment, since that has been a thorn in our side for, well, at least the last 15, 20 years, but especially in the last 8, since we had a Muslim commander in chief in the White House that was aiding and abetting the sworn enemy of the United States of America and its citizens, and most especially Christians. Islam, and you did an interview with Ken and Jen Elswick, and you talked about this. Can Islam coexist with Americanism? And the clearly the answer is no, it cannot. So what do we need to do moving forward to make sure this message continues to be pushed, Mark, that absolutely not, Islam is contradictory to any freedom and liberty-minded and loving people, and we cannot stand for it, we will not tolerate it. What are some things we can do?
Well, enough of Americans understand that to have pushed the Electoral College over the edge to where we showed that half of us understand that.
Yes.
The other half are ironically the people that are going to be persecuted the most by Islam when they've been given carte blanche to come into this country and take over by a soft jihad of just you know, having a higher population than us, because, you know, they reproduce much, much faster than the typical family, you know, 6 to 8 children per family, as opposed to, you know, I think it's 1.8, I think, the average American couple is reproducing. Yeah. So, you know, you project that forward for, you know, 10 or 20 years, and obviously they, you know, just like you see in and around Dearborn, Michigan, you know, they're getting into politics. They're getting into the city councils. One of the towns near Dearborn now has a Muslim mayor, you know, and as they become judges, then you're going to see, you'll see a Muslim plaintiff and a Muslim defendant and a Muslim judge, and there's nobody else in there. So what are they going to do? It's going to be Sharia law.
Yeah.
And that's how they take over. They won't even have to. They don't even have to blow anything up, you know, but it's incompatible with Americanism, unlike other religions. You know, a Buddhist doesn't, you know, they don't seem to feel the need to impose their will in entire neighborhoods like they do in France and Belgium and the Netherlands, where there's places you just cannot drive down the streets. Because, you know, if you don't have the beard, or if you're a woman, you don't have your head covered or what have you. And in those neighborhoods, their Sharia law is the law. And that's not compatible with Americanism at all. Yeah. And the ideology if you turn from Islam, then, you know, they have, honor killings, or if you've, you know, you date somebody that's not Muslim and fathers are killing their daughters and honor killings and those types of things. Or if you're a woman and you're raped, you know, then you're to blame under yes. Islam. So, you know, we're seeing it left and right in Europe, and I'm sure we'll be seeing it more and more here in America. And it will be the people that are sticking up for them now. They're the people from the Women's March and the people on the left that are going to see that they're the least compatible with Islam. That's the end of the first half of my guest appearance on Soaring Eagle Radio. Tune in next week for the rest of the show. I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out jmbullion.com today.